Chapter 3. The Adventure of the Literary Innkeeper. The journey north was a solemn one. I looked out of the window at the fine May weather. The hawthorn was flowering, and I asked myself why I hadn't escaped from London when I was still a free man. I didn't dare visit the restaurant car, but I got a lunch hamper in Leeds and shared it with one of the other passengers. I got the morning newspaper in Derby. There was some news about the start of the cricket season. Something about the Balkans, but nothing else. After I had read the newspaper, I took out Mr. Scudder's black book and studied it. It was chiefly filled with numbers, but every so often a name was printed. Hofgaard, Lunéville, Avocado, and Pavia were the words that stood out. Scudder never did anything without a reason, so I was sure that it was some sort of code. I tried to break the code, but nothing I tried worked. I fell asleep and woke up at Dumfries just in time to get off and catch the slow train to Galloway. I found a cottage when it was getting dark and asked for a bed for the night. I was given an evening meal of ham, eggs, scones and milk. The owners of the cottage didn't ask me any questions. They didn't even accept payment. After I had breakfast, I went off again. I went back to the train station and took a train to Dumfries. There was a paper on the train. I eagerly grabbed it and read through the news. There was something in it about the murder of Scudder. My valet had called the police, and the milkman had been arrested. The police had released him after a day, and were now looking for the real culprit. When the train was halfway to Dumfries, it stopped. This was perfect for me. I opened the door and jumped out of the train. The passengers thought I had killed myself. I hid in the bushes until the train had gone. Even if the police or the enemy did find out where I'd gone, everyone on the train would tell them I'd killed myself. When I crawled out of the bushes, I found I was in the middle of a moor. There wasn't a sight or sound of another human being, only the water of the river. As I stood there, it was the first time I felt afraid. I wasn't frightened of the police, but of the enemy. I knew that they would have been after me almost straight away, and I wouldn't get any mercy from them. I looked around, but I couldn't see anyone. I started to run. I ran to the mountains. I could see the train line, the moor, and anyone coming for miles. After I had looked at the ground, I looked at the sky. There was a monoplane taking off to the south. I was certain that the plane was looking for me. It certainly didn't belong to the police. I hid in a cluster of heather and watched the plane for several hours. It flew in circles. It climbed higher and higher, and then, all of a sudden, flew south again. I had to hide, but the heather wasn't good for cover from enemies in the air, so I had to find a different kind of cover. I went down the side of the mountain and followed a stream. The twilight was setting in as I found a lonely house. It was an inn. Outside the inn, a young man was smoking a pipe and reading a book. "Good evening to you. It's a fine night for the road," he said as I approached. "Are you the innkeeper?" "You look a little young," I said. "I am. My father died a year ago and left me the company. I was a writer before he died. Being an innkeeper wasn't my choice of profession," he replied. "But being an innkeeper gives you all kinds of stories to tell. I think the professions go well together," I smiled. "Not now. In the old days, there were pilgrims, ballad makers, mail coaches, and highwaymen. But not now. Only fat women in motor cars come for lunch and fishermen in the spring," he shrugged. I told him the tale of how I came to be in Scotland. But I changed the murder and a few little details about it all. He was very impressed by the tale. He was a young man, but he had money. "I need somewhere to lie low for a while. Can you take me in?" I asked. He took me by the elbow and dragged me towards the inn. "You can lie here as long as you like, and no one will give you away. Only I want you to tell me more about your adventures, he said. We struck a bargain. As I went into the inn, I heard the far-off noise of the plane again. I felt relieved to be inside. The innkeeper gave me a room at the back of the house that looked in the direction of the mountains. An old lady bought me my meals, and the innkeeper bought me the paper every day. It gave me time to sit and read Scudder's black book. The first paper didn't have any more details in it about the murder, but there was a long article about Carolides and the Balkans. I spent the afternoon trying to break the code again. As I was working, the name Julia Chechenyi flashed across my memory. I tried to use it as my cipher. After half an hour of decoding, I began to read through Scudder's notes. I looked out of the window and saw a car coming towards the inn. Two men got out of the car and came inside. A moment later, the innkeeper came into my room. There are two chaps below who are looking for you. They're in the dining room having whiskey and soda. They asked about you and said they'd hoped to meet you here. They described you perfectly, right down to your boots and shirt. I told them that you were here last night and that you'd already left on a motorcycle. One of the chaps swore like a sailor, the innkeeper said. I made him tell me what they looked like. One of them was a dark-eyed thin chap with bushy eyebrows. The other was always smiling and talked with a lisp. They were both English. I wrote out part of Scudder's diary in German. The bit I translated said, Black scone. Scudder had got onto this, but he could not act for a fortnight. I doubt if I can do any good now, especially as Carolides is uncertain about his plans. But if Mr. T advises, I would do the best I made it look like a page from a private letter. Take this down and tell them you found it in my room. Ask them to return it to me if they find me, I told him. 3 minutes later, the sound of the car engine could be heard. I looked out and saw the two men that the innkeeper had described. The innkeeper came back to me in a very excited state. Your paper woke them up. The dark fellow went as pale as death, or clean washing. He swore like a sailor again. The fat one whistled and looked ugly. They paid for the drinks and didn't wait for their change, he told me with glee. Now I'll tell you what I want you to do. Get on your bicycle and go off to Newton Stewart to the chief constable. Describe the two men and say you suspect them of having had something to do with the London murder. You can invent whatever reasons you like. The two will come back, never fear. They'll follow the road for 40 miles looking for me, but they'll be here first thing tomorrow morning. Tell the police to be here, bright and early, I said firmly. He went off like a docile child while I worked on decoding the little black book of Scudder's. When he came back from Newton Stewart, we had dinner together. I let him ask me whatever questions he liked about South Africa, lion hunts, and the Matabele War. I went up to bed and finished decoding Scudder's black book. I sat up all night smoking my pipe, for I couldn't sleep. At 8 o'clock in the morning, two constables and a sergeant arrived. They hid their car in the coach house. 20 minutes later, I saw the car coming down the road. It stopped in the wood. The two men got out and walked down the road to the inn. I had thought that I would wait in my bedroom until the police had dealt with everything. But now I had a better idea. I opened the window and dropped down into a gooseberry bush. Nobody saw me as I ran out of the yard to the stream, crossed over, and went to the patch of trees where the enemy had hidden their car. The car was parked just where I thought they had left it. There was some dust on it. I jumped into the driver's seat, started it, and drove down the road a short way. I lost sight of the inn. The wind carried the sound of angry voices to me as I drove away.